From Washington, this is VOA News. I'm Joe Palca reporting. Iraq suffers more suicide attacks. Islamic State attacks across Iraq on Sunday left at least 29 people dead and more than 70 wounded. Iraqi officials said the most deadly attack, for which IS claimed responsibility, killed at least 14 people and wounded 27 at a state-run natural gas plant near Baghdad. Another Islamic State attack north of Baghdad on Sunday left at least 11 people dead and more than 20 wounded. Suicide attackers stormed a gas plant and set off a car bomb. In Jordan on Sunday, the Obama administration's top envoy to the coalition fighting IS extremist Brett McGurk said the Sunni militants have been unable to gain significant ground since taking the city of Ramadi a year ago, which they lost in December to Iraqi security forces. Mr. McGurk told reporters in Amman that the U.S.-led coalition is conducting precise airstrikes in Mosul almost every day, describing it as synchronized pressure. He said the efforts to retake the Iraqi city and Raqqa in Syria are making progress, and he said the U.S. prefers having local forces on the ground take the fight to the IS group rather than the U.S. forces.
We don't want U.S. forces going in and cleaning out these cities because that is not a recipe for a sustainable success. We believe the sustainable model is for local people to take back their territories and take back their homes. And it took some time to organize the local forces to do that. But I think you can see that we're starting to have some real momentum now. And that is something that is going to continue.
He also claimed the ideological war on social media against IS is on the offensive. A spokesman for Nigeria's central bank has denied a report that it plans to devalue the currency. He told Reuters there are no negotiations with the IMF about such a devaluation. This is VOA News. President-elect of the Philippines, Rodrigo Duterte, says he will ask Congress to bring back the death penalty as a punishment for crimes including rape, robbery, murder, and drug trafficking.
I will control crime. And I repeat, the predicate of it all of my statement is, I'm willing to lose the presidency, my life or honor. This is what I promised the people. I intend to do it.
Mr. Duterte told reporters his preferred method for the executions would be hanging, which he considers to be more humane. He also said he would give police shoot-to-kill orders for organized crime members who violently resist arrest. In the Caribbean nation of the Dominican Republic, early results from the Sunday election show incumbent President Danilo Medina is poised to win re-election and avoid a second-round runoff. He needs more than 50% to avoid a runoff. His nearest rival is businessman Luis Abdinader with 35%.
Y no importa lo que pase.
Earlier, he said the outcome would be a victory for the people and the country. Voting Sunday was hampered by problems with new voter fingerprint technology and the mass resignation of thousands of poll workers. The South American country of Venezuela is in crisis a day after President Nicolas Maduro threatened to seize closed factories and arrest their owners. The country is struggling to deal with food shortages, hyperinflation, protests, and power shortages. On Friday, Mr. Maduro extended a state of emergency and accused the United States of trying to destabilize the country. Rice University Latin American analyst Mark Jones described the economy as in collapse.
Electricity is rationed. There's uncertainty regarding economic activity. Inflation is approaching 1,000% annually. The economy is going to shrink by probably around 10% this year. It's a country that is economically destitute.
Thousands of protesters took to the streets in Caracas on Saturday in support of a recall referendum to remove Mr. Maduro. 50 years ago today, the Chinese Communist Party started the country down a path to the Cultural Revolution, which it said would bring about a more just society, but in practice led to complete social and economic turmoil. This seemingly momentous anniversary was all but ignored and met with virtual silence from China's state-run media. On May 16, 1966, Chinese Communist Party Chairman Mao Zedong began the campaign by purging several top party officials and announcing his agenda that ostensibly sought to return power to the working class. What follows wasn't the communist utopia that Mao had planned, but a brutal period of violence, food shortage, and economic hardship. Joe Palca reporting from Washington.
That's the latest world news from VOA.